You know, honestly, brother, I kind of thought you'd put up more of a fight than this.
Well, since you're being honest, same, dude.
So which excuse are you leaning into for the off season?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, at the end of every season, you tell yourself something. Maybe it's not super truthful, but it helps build hope for the following season.
First of all, I'll worry about that in August when I'm done parading the cup around the city of Boston.
Did it feel like you said that with confidence?
No, not really. But secondly, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't?
Oh, I get it. No. And you know what? I bet in 2011 you didn't have a coping mechanism for the off season either. You just understood that sometimes you lose, right? You probably developed that. I would guess, year 4 or 5 of your playoff drought.
Huh. Hey, Detroit. Do you tell yourself something at the end of every year just to help you get through the summer months so you can actually believe in your hockey team the following year?
Yeah. Started doing that about 3 years ago now.
Ah, you're 7 then.
Guess it's been so long I forgot.
You know, I gotta ask, despite it taking so long to get here, do you have any sort of guilty feelings about knocking another team out of the playoffs?
You know, yeah, actually. There is this little twinge, 'cause you know I'm causing pain.
Really?
No, I could watch the entire collection of New England states be crushed under a record-setting tsunami and not shed a tear.
You know, with that situation, it probably hits New York City, too.
Even better.
Well, yeah, you know I gotta respect that. Low quality fiends of a high quality Bruins team. That's right, a high quality Bruins team, and they're in the playoffs, damn it! They're in the playoffs! It doesn't feel super high quality. I will concede that point. It also isn't even the end of the game. In fact, we're not even halfway through the third period because for the first time ever on this channel, I said screw it, and I started doing the recap video during the game. I don't even have it up anymore. I have the notes. I could flick over to it if I want to. Here, let's just. Yeah, all right. Nothing's changed. 6-0 was when I left. I believe they were pulling Swayman for Korpisalo, which we waited a long time here. And there's something I want to say before we really get into any of this, right? I have plenty of issues with how Sturm has handled this series and this particular game, and I've got complaints, right? I have complaints about Sturm. But I want to be super clear. This game is fully on the players. It is 100% on the players. Now, some of you, I know, I saw it. Your brain just went, it's on Sweeney. I get it. I get the point you're making. But this group of players have played a better version of this most of the year, even in the times we were getting our absolute asses beat, it wasn't this. It wasn't this. This game being, I mean, all the media talk about we're a confident group and we're focused and we're calm and I like this about our game, and then to come out and not compete. I mean, let's not get it twisted. You didn't compete at all. They had 3 goals before you had 3 shots. Sorry, I'm pretty sure they had 4 goals before you had 3 shots. None of it was on Swayman. Yeah, you could get nitpicky with a goal here or there of like, I'd like him to have the turnovers in the defensive zone to a forecheck that wasn't even working that hard. I want to give Buffalo so much credit. Like, I don't hate Buffalo. Right, there's memories of a long time ago of a bit of a rivalry that'll stir something up. And I've had a lot of Sabres fans jumping into the comments or sending me DMs and Twitter and all this kind of stuff. That's fine. People, there's sections of fan bases that have to talk crap, they have to gloat, they have to do whatever, which is fine. Bruins fans do it all over the place. I've never been that kind of fan. Like, I don't, it's just not my style. I have no ill will towards Buffalo, or I don't think they've played a dirty series. I don't think that there's been any shenanigans with the refs or anything like that. And so now we sit here and we ask all sorts of questions. But the first one has to be, what, do the players care? Because if the players don't care, I don't really want to care, right? And this series isn't over. I'm going to say that like six times through this video, hopefully. And the last thing I want to say in this video is the series isn't over. I refuse to act like the series is over. There's still games to play, and there's still a way to right this wrong. Does it seem feasible at all? No, it doesn't. And that's, I get it. I get why you're frustrated. But to watch this team struggle the way it did with a forecheck, I want to give the Sabres credit, right? I want to give them credit because I don't have any hate towards the Sabres, man. I just don't. There's old memories of sort of a rivalry back in the day, and it was a real rivalry, not sort of. But right now, it's 15 years, are finally back in the playoffs. Yeah, I've got a lot of fans talking crap in the comments and Twitter and all this kind of stuff, but there's groups of fans that love to do that, right? There's tons of Bruins fans out there. It's never really been my style to do that, but look, I'm not gonna harsh their mellow. This is their chance to do exactly that. But the Bruins, I think, are really gifting this one away. Like, this is a game that I needed to see from Buffalo to have any, like, thought that they would go further in the playoffs. Because so far, 7th seed, 2nd seed, the Bruins really struggled to put together, like, I know our offensive numbers through the year are actually pretty good, but their process to get them, if they go cold at all, which they very much have gone cold, there was a lot of play where I was like, man, Buffalo is not bringing it to us the same way truly competitive teams have been bringing it to us. And then this game happens. And obviously I sit there and go, all right, well, there you go. But at the end of the day, I'm mostly just staring at our own players. Because we watched a Buffalo forecheck that really didn't adjust much, if anything. They didn't seem faster. They didn't seem more on it. The Bruins just held the puck or failed their clearances, couldn't keep the puck on their stick. And there is absolutely, if you're looking for something, some way to rationalize this and just be like, that's okay, game five will be different. I've got something for you. Nothing, I mean nothing, went our way through the first 47 minutes, 48 minutes that I watched. Nothing. And we're going to talk about a little bit of it, but the Bruins could not hold on to a puck to save their life. Every scoring chance had something happen to prevent it. Oftentimes, had nothing to do with the Sabres. The goals against had a lot to do with the Bruins, but making plays, that there were other plays to be made. Like, again, I want to give credit to Buffalo. I'm not taking anything away. They played, they finished their chances, they kicked the shit out of the Bruins. That's a great team. But why are we holding the puck when we have time and space waiting for the forecheck to get to us and then panicking? Why are we breaking the puck out with a clean pass right to a wide open Bruin and we miss him by 4 feet? Not because someone's in our face. We literally just missed McAvoy. Like, this is the stuff I'm watching over and over again to start this game. People jumping all over Minton for that second goal, which, again, we'll talk about. Yes, Minton made the tough play that actually turned it over. McAvoy was the one who screwed up the play in the first place. Like, it's we're putting ourselves in terrible positions and then acting surprised about it. And you look at the body language for the players and they're acting surprised. And you're like, dude, you had a simple play and you couldn't do it. You had a wide open net. You couldn't keep the puck on your stick. Like, you had a chance to shoot from the slot. You opted for a pass. All this stuff where you'd sit there and go, situationally, you guys deserve all of this. What are you surprised about? What are you complaining about? What are you dejected about? You're doing this. Look, I'm watching someone nail a fucking nail into their palm and then stare at it and going, what the hell happened? Brother, let me tell you. You put a nail in your palm, dumbass. I'm grabbing a beer. Cheers. Also my last beer. 5 o'clock on a freaking Sunday and it's my last beer. Unbelievable. I've got like 4 bottles of whiskey though, so we're okay. Also, not for nothing, your best players, this was part of our pre-game notes. I said you have to get more for your best players in this game. Mostly I'm thinking about Pasta. I'm thinking about Geeky, right? Think about the second line. And what I saw instead was a team floundering in their own zone. They barely got it out of their own zone in the first period. I will break down the two periods. And I mean, really just the two periods, if we're going to be honest. But when the Bruins were able to move the puck up the ice, they were trying to force feed Pasta. And Pasta was just shooting from anywhere. Which, to be fair, you're down 3 or 4 goals at this point. I get it. I'm not going to sit here and be like, pass more, because you seem to only want to pass to the to a new guy when you're in the slot with a chance to score sometimes. Pasta, not good enough in this series. Really good through 2 games. I mean, sort of. 5 points, obviously. You love that. But not good enough. Geeky, his point totals are going to be fine, but as far as a scoring threat, he's taken himself out so much that when you sit there and go like, well, the guy's not scoring, that's one thing. Well, the guy's not threatening to score. Well, now it's just easy to play defense against you. I mean, just the forwards crapped out. And this is what we thought the problem was going to be all year, is the forwards aren't going to be able to create offense. And instead, we had a defense who couldn't defend. And then we hit the playoffs, and what happens? The defense can't defend, and the forwards can't score. Fuck! It turns into a tough situation. Check out the Discord. Check out the high-quality inspectors. Again, every cent that is raised during the playoffs is going to a charity that's listed below if you want to check it out. Or if you just want to donate yourself, that's dope as well. We'd love that. Doesn't have to go through me. Do your thing. Yeah, so let's like, comment, subscribe, nailed it, talk a little bit. Oh, I have to give the lineups, right? This will be funny. Geeky, Elias, Pasta, Middlestat, Zacha, Arvidsson, Reichel, Mitten, Kuzi, Janot, Corrali, Kastelic, Aspero, McAvoy, Hampus, Harris, I don't know why that broke my brain for a second, and Zadorov in peak, and then Swayman is in net. Higgins goes out for Reichel. I'm starting to think Sturm has too much of a love for his countryman, Reichel. I don't really... this wasn't a situation, a decision that made me go like, what the hell is wrong with you? I get it. I didn't agree with it. But I do understand the logic of like, well, let's move out the smaller 19-year-old and get somebody with a bit more speed. But the problem wasn't really the third line. Now, game 3, the third line didn't have a great game. Neither did your other groupings other than the fourth line. Didn't really like it. Leaving that first line alone? Malpractice. Just malpractice. We have seen this way too much. This Geeky Elias Pasta line will score a couple goals, and then everyone's like, oh, they're fixed, and we'll stick them together and leave them there. And then we'll watch them get absolutely buckled. Game after game after game, shift after shift after shift, and people will sit there and be like, what's wrong with them? Like, they don't work as a line. That's the problem. We knew this already. They had one little hot streak there, then they just get stuck together. Doesn't matter. 5-game losing streak going to the playoffs? Doesn't matter. Now, obviously, they'd switched up lines a few times during that, but I don't get it. Sturm has a lot to learn. He's a rookie coach. Like, that is what it is. Didn't love that decision, taking Higgins out and putting Reichel in. Knew that wasn't popular. That's not what would have lost you the game, though. Now, Harris going in for Lauri. Look, I've tooted Harris's horn all year. Harris was awful in this game, just terrible. Oh, let's check in the score real quick. Still 6-0! Nice! They didn't allow 10. Alright. Little wins. No, Harris has been fine, but you're also not playing him at all. And then you decide to chuck him in. And I was saying you have to limit Lauri's ice time, though. Lauri had been abysmal. Really, really bad. Sticking Harris in his offside was a little weird, I thought, but is what it is. And neither of those moves worked out, obviously. Jack Edwards was the banner captain, and it was awesome. It really was awesome. Too bad the Bruins didn't show up at home in the playoffs. Again. I mean, little warning to you. The Bruins don't win at home in the playoffs too often. I can't believe I fell for it again. This was a game note, but I don't want to hear anyone talk to me about home ice advantage for the Bruins ever again. I made this mistake. I make this mistake every year. I'm like, we're good at home ice. We're good on home ice. Because in the regular season, we're good on home ice. And then the playoffs happen, and we are shit on home ice in the playoffs. Every year. I don't know why I keep forgetting that. Someone's going to remind me, and I'm going to argue with them next year about it. This is how dumb I am. All right, let's talk about this game. Puck drops. Puck drops! 4:17 in. The shots are 6-1 already with no special team time. That's not great. It's been a mess. And this is only going to get messier as McAvoy has all the time in the world behind his own net. Bruins are changing. Sabres are changing. You know, they're doing that. He's just standing there and they're doing the whole, like, let's figure out what's strong side, what's weak side, how are we going to defend this, how are we going to move up ice. And Aspero is on the glove side wall. And McAvoy, now the camera cuts. Every highlight I watch of this, the camera cuts during this pass. So I think, my hands farted. I think McAvoy misses Aspero with the pass. Because I can't really imagine Aspero misses a pass that's on target to him this badly. But McAvoy finally opts to pass. I believe it goes in front of Aspero, off the wall. Mittens cruising the blue line, so he's going to collect that, but he has pressure on his back. He makes the mistake of curling back into our zone along that glove side wall. Yes, this is Minton's mistake. He then just tries to dump the puck back away from our zone, get it out of our zone. And it gets intercepted because he doesn't realize there's a second wave there, so Tuck is there to collect that. Now, I understand that's Minton's fault. Minton should have never been in this position if we couldn't just break out the puck like a normal professional hockey team. What is that? How do you miss that pass? It's either McAvoy or Aspero. I'm pretty sure it's McAvoy, but here we are. So, that gets turned over. Tuck intercepts it, skates into the glove side circle, feeds it to Krebs in the slot for a one-time top blocker, 1-0. No chance for Swayman. Terrible turnover. An assist by McAvoy on that, or Minton, however you want to see it. And it's 1-0. And I had the same thought that all of you did. Well, scoring first hasn't been working. Whatever. Let's just see how this goes. And then, about a minute later, 5:08 in, too many men for the Bruins. Too many men. 5 minutes into a game, you got too many men. That's a fatigue. That's a mental fatigue penalty. Seriously. So we're going to penalty kill. And if you didn't think they were scoring on this, and I know technically they didn't, a second after it, whatever. But everybody, we all sat there and went, yeah, too many men, Bruins, playoffs. That's a goal against, 100%. As the penalty is expiring, it's technically not a power play goal by about a second. But it's another brutal turnover by the Bruins. Doan tries a through-the-legs play on the blocker post, and it gets knocked away across the crease to Hampus, who has time, who has space to clear this puck. And all he does is chip it to the top of the glove side circle for Byram, who feeds McLeod below the same side circle, who fires a hard pass to the net front where Doan has inside positioning on your number one defenseman and tips this high blocker. No chance for Swayman. It's 2-0. I'm not going to blame Swayman for fucking anything in this game, by the way. Not a damn thing. I plead with you. If you feel like Swayman is to blame, please go watch this game. And look what he was being put up with. Like, it was just brutal. 9:15 in. The Bruins are down two goals to zero, right? You got to push back eventually, right? You're not going to spend the whole period just hoping for intermission and hopefully you can get a better second, right? Well, at this point, the Bruins are actually putting these signs up, like the cards on the boxing rings, right? The round girls. Not to care, because they fucking don't. Why would you care? They don't. Harris with the puck in the D zone, getting harassed by Doan. He has inside position before Doan gets there. He had time, he had space, but he holds. And Doan bothers him enough that he ends up getting the puck stripped from him by, I want to say this was Benson. Yeah, Benson comes right in, steals that puck, has a 2-on-1 now. Bruins opt to cover the pass. Benson goes straight in on the net. Initial save is made, but the puck rebounds out and goes off of Benson's skate and in. I saw some people wondering why you wouldn't challenge that. It was absolutely not a kicking motion. That goal was going to stand 100 times out of 100. There was nothing there for the refs to wave that off. It is 3-0, and you have to get off the mat. 5:48 left. Another Bruins turnover. This time Zadorov gives a 2-on-1 for the Sabres, but Swayman absolutely robs Benson on the back door. Shots are 14-2. Your goaltender has allowed 3 goals off of 14 shots. Your team's getting demolished in front of him. I said the goaltender allowed 3 goals. Again, I'm not blaming Swayman for any of this. Your defense can't stop turning the puck over. They're holding it way too long. It's like they're scared to go up ice. And again, I want to give credit to Buffalo, but a lot of this forechecking wasn't that impactful. The Bruins waited for the forechecking to get to them. So he makes this huge save. What do you think would be going through the minds of a professional hockey team? Hell yeah. Let's get back into this. Our boy's still keeping us there. Let's go. The faceoff is in the glove side circle directly after that play. We win the faceoff, and McLeod just barrels through Aspero to get that puck anyway. You won the faceoff in the defensive zone and still lost the puck. That's how bad this is. It's pathetic is the only word that counts here. It really is. The Bruins deserve zero respect for what they did tonight. Anyway, Geeky has a chance to clear this, because after McLeod barrels through Aspero, gets the puck, there's a lot of sticks everywhere. Geeky's going to have a chance. He fumble fucks it. He had time. He had space. He had the puck. We thought. Couldn't get the puck. We thought. And then he just throws it forward after he panics. This is intercepted by Quinn, bats it to the wall, and feeds it up to Power above the glove side circle. He feeds it to Byram in the blocker side circle. It looks like there was some contact with Swayman during this play. Swayman has no chance getting back. He's diving across, but Benson makes no mistake. Byram makes no mistake, and it's 4-0. They didn't challenge this. I actually thought this was the right move not to challenge this too, because there was nothing I saw that was actually like the Saber making contact without directly getting kind of pushed. I didn't watch the replay a bunch of times, though, so, I mean, maybe if you really feel like I should go back and check it out, I will, but it's 4-0. It's 4-0. And they just didn't get off the mat, and you could have let that huge save really galvanize you, and you go for it, and no, you just 10 seconds later gave up a goal because you can't be bothered to give a shit. This is what I mean by it's on the players. This isn't... You won a face-off, and it turned into a goal against. Who are you mad at? Look in the mirror, right? Yeah, anyway, sorry. We're going to move on. 4 minutes left. Minton has a steal and a breakaway. This was the game to me. This was the game. Lyon makes the save. That was it. When that didn't go in, it's rare for me to truly believe the Bruins are losing until like the game's over. I do the whole performance stuff but like at the end of the day, I try to be optimistic and I try to focus on winning. And that 4 minutes left of the first period, I just went, damn, if you're going to have nothing go your way, you can't even score on a breakaway. Nothing's happening here. Shots are 19-5 at the end of the period. Arvidsson at some point got hurt. Shoulder, it looked like. He would not return to this game. He's likely done. If he's not returning to this game, I doubt it's something that's day to day. So that's just the universe proving a point, right? They just, it's piling on. Nothing went our way. 46 seconds into the second period, Zadorov fumbles a puck and has to hold to prevent the breakaway. We're going to the penalty kill. 46 seconds into the second period, you're down 4 goals. It's just the focus wasn't there and the puck wasn't working with them, whatever you want to say, but just pathetic. Game still isn't final. It looks like the Sabres have a little power play here. It's 6-0. How about that? Stayed there. Excellent. 10 seconds into the penalty kill, the Bruins have a 3-on-2 shorthanded chance. And they can't cross the blue line correctly and are offsides. At a certain point, who are you mad at? No one but the players to me. You can't blame anyone but the skaters in this. You're down 4 goals. You stole a puck. You have a shorthanded chance. 3-on-2. Off sides? Because you make a move on the blue line? Pathetic. It's pathetic. Unpressured offsides, by the way. Buffalo is sitting back. 5:30 in, we do kill that penalty. Reichel has a wide open net, but he can't hold on to the puck and never gets a shot off. Wide open net. Thank God we sat Hagens, right? That's really his only contribution to the game, too. Reichel misses or doesn't shoot at a wide open net. Harris gets stripped of the puck, and they put it in our net. So good changeouts there. Just awful. 10 minutes in, Zaka has a bullet from the blocker's side. Looks like a great chance. Posting out. Later in the shift, best shift of the Bruins this entire game, as far as I watched. Extended time in the offensive zone. Pasta feeds Hampus for a great chance, and it rolls off his stick from the high slot. It's just nothing. 5 minutes later, another great chance for Geeky, posting out. The universe really did. Like, this is your saving grace, right? The universe just told us to go fuck ourselves. Like, it's not happening tonight. Tough night. 4:02 left. Greenway for tripping. We're going to the power play. I didn't even make a note about the power play. Didn't even make a note about it. I guess that means we didn't score. 5:08 into the third. Malenstein gets a tip alone in front after a lost board battle by... Actually, I didn't even look at this. Hold on. Who did this? Geeky, who's been... a menace on the boards. Geeky also then tries to clear, and it gets knocked down right after that lost board battle. Because the puck does get back to him. But then, of course, with the failed clearance, Malenstein's all alone in front for a tip past Swayman. It's 5-0. 6:32 in, Tuck gets a feed from Tage in the slot, and he nails that. Harris lost a battle, holding the puck too long again on the wall to create that chance for them. So it's 6-0. It's 6-0 game notes. Let's talk about the game notes. And I mean, if you're mad at me for not putting pictures of the last two goals, because I just couldn't be bothered to crap up or to starting this video early. I get it. I don't really feel like apologizing. That was suffering watching that. That was awful for all of you. Why did Swayman have to eat 6 goals to finally get pulled? He did get pulled, right? They must have finally pulled him out. Yeah, Korpisalo went 6 for 6 on saves. Big time. Why did Swayman have to eat 6 goals? After the fourth, going into the second, it should have been Korpisalo and net. If anything, that's just a way to try to give the team a boost. I mean, yeah, that just felt weird to me. It feels like Sturm just gets really tight about some of these decisions. I already said that I really don't want to hear anything about the Bruins' home ice stuff. I said the series isn't over, and I refuse to act like it is, because it's not. It's 3-1, and the Bruins look completely outmatched, which is probably true. But I have seen way worse situations than this end up with a team going on a run. So, you know, you just got to believe. I do believe. I do want to have a statement, though, and I think we're going to break this down more probably in the next short shift, and of course, if the season does end early next week or in the middle of next week, we'll certainly have more of a conversation about this. But we've actually already mentioned it a little. Did Sweeney build the team he thinks he did? After a year of me talking about the red flags of the underlying possession and scoring chances analytics, I cast a lot of doubt, and spoiler alert, next year I'm going to cast a lot of doubt too. I don't mean to be negative, I just, a lot of things went very right for the Bruins to make the playoffs this year. We had one of the best goal differentials when comparing it to what our expected results were based on how many shots and high danger chances we allow versus how many we create, all that kind of stuff. Everything kind of went really well for the Bruins. And I say that knowing that early season there were a ton of injuries, but there were a ton of career highs for this team. There's not a ton of reinforcements coming. This free agency class, like every free agency class, isn't great. There's not a lot to make us think that next year is going to be any easier, right? This is still a pretty scary situation based on what the team's underlying red flags are. But we told ourselves through this whole year, and I said it a bunch, I'm not taking myself out of blame here, I'm certainly part of this, but we told ourselves this was a style of play that should resonate with the playoffs. Physicality and just net front presence, good goaltending. Doesn't fucking seem so, though, does it? But also, I don't think they're that good at the piss and vinegar. This team loses a ton of board battles. Buffalo has won so much of their possessions based off of board battles. The forecheck, once again in this game, non-existent, but they couldn't even break out of their zone. in this one. The Sabres did let off the gas a bit for their a bit in the second there, so the Bruins were able to put together some nice shifts. But I mean, what am I supposed to truly believe about that, right? They were already up 5 goals at this point, or whatever it was, 4 goals. Yeah, it's just one of those things where you sit there and go, okay, well, we talked ourselves into this style. We barely know if they play the style well, but one thing keeps coming up. Hey, this slow team in the regular season that can't string together possession because they're too one and done in the offensive zone because they can't retrieve pucks, and they allow long possessions in the defensive zone because they can't retrieve pucks because they're slow. Turns out that matters a lot in the playoffs, too. I know. Never would have guessed. Frustrating. Frustrating. But you win. You win in Buffalo on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Something like that. I'm feeling better, you know? You force a game 7, we could talk about the way this team was built and if attrition matters and all that stuff. But we are officially at super simple time. Win the next game or your season's done. Every shift matters. You can't take any off. And feels like the Bruins took a lot of shifts off in this one. I know you're bummed. I know you're frustrated. Get it out. I won't take it personally in the comments. Let it rip. Say whatever you need to. I should have said this in the beginning of the video because no one's going to really see this late. Please don't jump all over people if they're just venting. Let them just have it and move on. I know we all sound stupid sometimes when we're just saying stuff. I've certainly sounded stupid on this channel 1,000 times. This is a frustrating game. Let people get it out. Just let them go. Let them rip. And let Buffalo fans talk their shit, man. They haven't had this chance in 15 years. Let them do it. And hopefully the Bruins can make them eat their words, right? That's it. Because I can't really defend the Bruins right now. I can't really do it. But still, as always, go Bees. Go Bees! Hey guys, thank you so much for watching this video and joining me as we experience this crazy Bruins season together. The names popping up on your screen now are from the top line tier and the all-star tier of the YouTube membership program for this YouTube channel. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you who helps support the channel so that we can do more fun things. And I am always open to more ideas of how I can help give back to those who support the channel. At the end of the day, this channel is always going to be about the community, and I want to continue to grow that way. So please always feel free to reach out with new ideas and fun ways we can expand on this. Or if you just need someone to talk to, I'm always here for you guys. Thank you all for your support. And as always, go Bees!